Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's continue with our teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered, or say that the Holy Scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause the person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His holy word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, part 1, the prayer of agreement, part 2, petition prayer. These parts we have completed thus far. Part 3, intercessory prayer, which we started last week. Part 4, anointing with oil. Part 5, laying on of hands. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying give us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules in faith, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net. to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now, before I ran out of time last week, I was sharing with you some examples in both the Old and New Testaments of the Holy Bible, recording godly people who successfully interceded on behalf of others. I want to continue sharing with you today a few of my favorite intercessions. Let's go to example 2, which includes Hezekiah and Isaiah praying for victory over the nation of Assyria. Please go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 20 and 21. 2 Chronicles 32, starting with verse 20. It says, "But Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed about this and cried out to heaven for help. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every brave warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So the king returned to his own land in shame. And when he entered the house, temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword." Now, last week when we were together, I was talking about who we could intercede for. And we read the scripture that talks about praying for the nations, that God would give us those nations as an inheritance and possession. In other words, there has been situations where you're watching a program, or maybe you heard some information about another group of people in a different part of the world, and that whatever you heard touched your heart, and you had a desire to pray for those people, a desire that they would hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and come to know him as their Savior and Lord. So this is what Hezekiah and Isaiah were doing. They have had a love for their nation, and they prayed that God would give them victory over the nation of Assyria. So again, I just want to point out from verse 20 and 21, the following. It says, "But Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed about this and cried out to heaven for help." That's what we need to do. When we see things going on in our nation or somewhere else in the world, we need to call out on the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus, for help. And then it goes on in that first sentence in verse 21. It says, "And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every brave warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria." God will answer the prayers of the righteous. If those prayers line up with his word, he will honor them. And that should give us assurance, family, that we can be those people who can intercede, stand in the gap for others so that they can come to know Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. Let's go to example number 3, Daniel praying for Jerusalem. Please turn to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. Daniel chapter 9, verses 16 through 19. It says, "O Lord, in accordance with all your righteousness and just acts, please let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because of our sins and the wickedness of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become an object of scorn and a contemptuous byword to all who are around us." Verse 17. "Now therefore, our God, listen to heed the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplications. And for your own sake, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look at your desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you because of your own merits and righteousness, but because of your great mercy and compassion. Last verse, verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. Do not delay for your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Now here is an excellent example of praying for those who have gone astray. They are out there in that wilderness and they are hell-bent to go to hell. But you can stand in the gap. You can call on the Heavenly Father and petition based on his mercy, long-suffering, kindness, compassion for his creation. And you can be the one that can move them out of that hideous situation that Satan has them in and show them the way of victory through praying and putting pressure in that spirit realm. Amen. So we know from verse 16 that Daniel was praying for the city of Jerusalem. And by the city, we're referring to all those people that live in that area. You can do the same for your community. In verse 17, it said, listen to heed the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplications. That's what we're doing when we call upon our Heavenly Father. We're saying, Lord, we're your children and we live in this area and it is going from bad to worse, but I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to pray out and I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were, according to your word. That's what we have to do, family. Those of us that know the word, those of us that believe in the word of God, we need to pray. We need to stand before the Father and ask for mercy and send out the laborers so they can meet the needs of the people. Then verse 18, the last part of that verse says, for we are not presenting our supplication before you because of our own merits. We don't deserve it, Father. We know that. That's what he was saying. And righteousness, but because of your great mercy and compassion. And the Father is loving. He is kind. He is long-suffering. He wants his people to come back from where they are in the sinful nature and return to him so they can live in victory. So that's what we need to do when we intercede. And then it says at the bottom of verse 19, people are called by your name. Those of us who have called on the name of Jesus, we're his people, and we have the right and privilege to pray and intercede for others. You know, this is so very important. It says, the Lord answered us because we are his children through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray, because we are part of his family and he has given us the opportunity, the authority, power, and dominion to change our nation, our world, to live out their lives, the people to live out their lives in victory in Jesus. Here are three more examples of intercessory prayer, family. The following three examples are of one godly individual putting a demand in the spirit realm to change the circumstances of life for the better. Let's start with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verses 25 through 33. Abraham is interceding for the righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18, starting with verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to strike the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right by executing just and righteous judgment? So the Lord said, if I find within the city of Solomon 50 righteous people, then I will spare the entire place for their sake. Abraham answered, now behold, I who am but dust in origin and ashes have decided to speak to the Lord. Verse 28, if 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking, will you destroy the entire city for the lack of 5? And he, God, said, if I find at least 45 righteous people there, I will not destroy it. Abraham spoke to him yet again and said, suppose only 40 are found there, And he, God, said, I will not do it for the sake of the 40 who are righteous. Then Abraham said to God, Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 righteous people are found there. And he, God, said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Verse 31. And he said, Now behold, I have decided to speak to the Lord again. Suppose only 20 righteous people are found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Then Abraham said, Oh, may the Lord not be angry with me, and I will speak only this once. Suppose 10 righteous people are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. Last verse, verse 33. As soon as he, God, had finished speaking with Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his own place. Family, we are blessed. We are privileged to be able to stand in the gap for others. When we know that those individuals are sinful, operating out of God's word, we can still ask the Lord for mercy and kindness and draw the people to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Verse 25, let's go back there very quickly. I want to reread the last sentence of verse 25. It says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right by executing just and righteous judgment? We want to remind our Heavenly Father that He is a just God, that He is merciful, that He is loving and kind, and we can speak to His heart because we are His children. So when we come before the Heavenly Father and we're talking about individuals who have basically spit in His face, told Him we don't want to have anything to do with the living God, we don't want to have anything to do with your Son, Jesus the Christ, you can still stand in the gap and love on the people that God created by reminding Him of His mercy and His compassion. And when we speak to Him with those kind, loving words to put pressure in that spirit realm, He will hear us. Last verse, verse 33, I want to reread that, and then we're going to go on. It says, as soon as he, God, had finished speaking with Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his own place. You know, God is so wonderful, so big, that sometimes we don't even think that we can come before our Heavenly Father and petition Him as we would our natural fathers. But I'm letting you know right now, God wants those people, those righteous, godly people who are willing to stand and pray and intercede for others. And He's looking for us to do so. He's given us this privilege. So don't feel guilty, shameful. Don't sidestep your the position of prayer, because it is what will change the circumstances of life. Satan is looking for people who are lazy, that they won't have the boldness to come before the Heavenly Father to ask for prayer for others. But you let Satan know that he is defeated and under your feet. He has no place. And if you give him no place, he must run and hide. So that's what we're going to do, family. We're going to stay on focus. We're going to know how to use the prayer of intercession. And we're going to do it with faithfulness and with love. Now, in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for all his disciples, including those of us today and those coming in the future. I would like to read his intercessory prayer in part. Let's go to John chapter 17. I want to read verses 16 through 21. Again, we're talking about examples recorded in the Bible of those individuals who interceded on behalf of others. And we can do it too, family, if we choose to. John 17, starting with verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself to do your will, so that they also may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust in me through their message. Last verse, verse 20. That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. Jesus was praying for us and all those that will come after us, that we would stand firm in the word of God and be that light to draw people to Christ. So in verse 16, I want to read right up front that we are ambassadors, that we are here only for a moment. Even if you lived out to 120 years, what is that in comparison to all eternity? So Jesus is reminding us, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We are Jesus' representatives in this earth realm. So what we should do is look at Jesus' life and then follow his lead. Whatever he did, we do. Whatever he did not do, we do not do. Then it goes in verse 20. Let's drop down to there. I want to read that whole verse. It says, I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust in me through their message. You know, we have a great opportunity to set in motion the word of God for the future generations. And we can pray, family. We can pray that the word of God will continue to flow freely, not just in this country, but all over the world, because there are dying people going to hell because nobody reached them. But we can intercede from our very home, from our very kitchen table, and not even leave the country, but put an effect on that spirit realm that will touch the hearts of the people. That's what we need to do. We need to pray and intercede. Family, for my last example, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 12. Apostle Paul is praying for the Colossian church. Again, these are examples of godly people praying, interceding on behalf of others. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 9, says, for this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes and in understanding of spiritual things, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity, in fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing in the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love for his precepts. Verse 11. We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to his glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy. Last verse, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people in the light. Oh, what a beautiful prayer that was offered up by Paul for the church in Colossians. Oh my goodness, what a blessing. And we can do the same, family. We should be part of a church home. And we should have missionaries all over the world sharing the good news of Jesus Christ that we can support, not just financially. Yes, we should provide financially, but not just financially, but interceding on their behalf so they can be effective witnesses wherever they go. That those angels of our Heavenly Father will be camped around and about them to provide, to protect, and traveling mercies. This is our job here, that we would always pray for others. I want to go back to verse number 9. I want to read a couple of phrases here that are very important when interceding. Oh, family, I am running out of time. I'm going to go ahead and close out right here. But please come back next week as we continue with our study titled The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.